context from last week as well. All right. Well, let's have a word of prayer and then we'll read. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this day that you've given us. We thank you for this time that we have to come together to study your word. I pray, God, that you help us now as we look at your word, that you'd guide and direct us. We pray that we'd be receptive to your Holy Spirit as he speaks to us this morning. We just pray that we learn, that we'd be attentive. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse 1 through 7, the Bible says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." So last week, as Pastor brought the lesson forth, we talked about a warning that was given to us that we're told that there were going to be false teachers, false prophets that were going to rise up, just like there were in the Old Testament. False prophets and false teachers that were going to rise up, and they're going to spread, as the Bible says, damnable heresies. Not only were there going to be false teachers that were going to come, but they're even going to gain a following. And so Pastor talked about that. He talked about the importance of following warnings that God has given us. And he talked about how we as people, as human beings, often ignore warnings. I think some of the examples he gave us were like the Surgeon General's warning on smoking. How like the Surgeon General says, don't smoke, it can cause cancer. And people still smoke. And, you know, we don't like to follow warnings. We think we know best a lot of the times. Just in case these false prophets think that they're going to be able to get away with their teachings, Peter's going to further on through the Holy Spirit, give an even more stern warning. He's going to give an even more stern warning about how God dealt with unholiness and ungodliness in the past. In verse number 4, we're reminded this, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell." He's going to start this comparison. You know, when we talk about God, when people talk about God, they like to talk about the fact that God is loving. And it's true. In fact, the Bible says God is love. One of the most well-known verses in all the Bible is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And the operative word at the beginning is God so loved. And because he loved, this is what he did. Yes, it's important to talk about the fact that God is loving. It's important to talk about the fact that God is love, but we also can't forget the fact that God is holy. We can't forget the fact that God is just. One author that I've been reading a lot of, and I know some of you have read him, he talks about the fact that God's love and God's holiness have to exist together. In fact, he describes it as God's holy love. God is loving because he is holy, but God is holy because he is loving. The two can't be separated. They have to coexist, and they have to be married together. So in God's holy love, he provides judgment, and he provides justice. It wouldn't be God would not be much of a loving God if he saw sin happening in the world and did nothing about it. God has to be holy, and his holiness and his love have to be together. He provides judgment, and he provides justice. Move this a little. And in God's holy love, he even warns us about judgment that is going to come. He warns us that if we, first of all, don't accept Jesus as our Savior, then we have an eternity in the lake of fire to look forward to. He warns us that there's going to be coming judgment. But he's warning also these false prophets, these false teachers, that if they don't repent, that there will be judgment coming to them. You know, all throughout the Bible, we see examples. If we look at the Old Testament, we can see many times in the Old Testament, God bringing judgment to nations or to individuals for their sin. But they don't listen to God's warning. Or we'll see an example like in the book of Jonah. We see God sending Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh. And Jonah goes reluctantly. We know the story. We know the story of Jonah going reluctantly to Nineveh. And he gets there and he preaches and he says, God is going to bring judgment. And what do we know happens with the city of Nineveh? When they hear the word of God, what do they do? They repent. They repent. They turn from their sin. The Bible says they put on sackcloth and ashes and is showing a state of mourning for their sin. And they repent. And in God's holy love, he says judgment is going to come, but we're going to hold off on the judgment. We're going to hold off on the judgment because they repented. So now Peter brings a warning to these false teachers. The Holy Spirit, through Peter, is bringing a warning to these false teachers, saying, if God didn't spare the angels, if God didn't spare the world in Noah's time, if God didn't spare Sodom and Gomorrah, do you think he's going to forget about you? Do you think that you can escape God's judgment? It's a stern warning. It's a stern warning. You realize, and I don't know if Pastor talked about this last week, but there is such, somebody, there's so much responsibility given on somebody in a position of authority. And there's so much responsibility given to somebody who's responsible for teaching. And there are a lot of false teachers today. I don't need to name them because we name them all the time. But there are a lot of false teachers today who are going around spreading their lies and spreading their deceit, or as the Bible says, their damnable heresies, leading people astray. The entire health and prosperity gospel. There are false teachers today. And they will face, unless they repent, they will face God's judgment. God's going to give us some examples. And in verse number 4, the Bible tells us this. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Does anybody know what the word angel means by a raise of hand? Anybody raise their hand and say, what does the word angel mean? Are we just tired or we don't want to say anything or we don't know? Anybody know? Adam.
Totally wrong.
Hopefully.
Is it messenger?
Oh, you're totally right. Yeah, the word angel means messenger. It means messenger. What's that?
Listen,
I see his hands. They're not touching his phone. Typically, he would. I agree with you, but he didn't Google the answer. God created these messengers, this innumerable host, the Bible would call them. There's this innumerable host of messengers that God creates. So he creates this group of angels, and their job is to be messengers. They have other jobs as well. We'll see today, actually, in our song service, that some of them, they fly around the throne of heaven crying, holy, 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 declaring God's holiness. And we see this happening, these messengers coming to people throughout the Bible. In the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, the messengers come to Abraham. And actually, these are the messengers who we'll get to in a minute. They're the ones who tell Abraham that judgment's going to come to Sodom and Gomorrah. But these messengers come. They come to Abraham. We see Abraham talking with them and eating with them. The angel Gabriel as well as Michael appear to Daniel. Gabriel appears to Zechariah, to Mary, to Joseph. There are angels, you know, all throughout the Bible that we see acting as messengers to God. And ironically enough, I think I said this last time I did the adult Sunday school. My go-to phrase these days has been ironically enough, so I have to stop saying it. So I'm going to try to stop saying it. So messengers, these angels are messengers. And in the Bible, Paul gives us a warning about angels too. Paul says, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than that which we have declared unto you, let him be accursed. A warning against false teachers that Paul even gives as well. And some of these false messengers can appear as angels. In Matthew chapter 18, verse number 10, we read that there are angels that are watching over children. And Jesus gives a warning not to offend children because their angels do always behold the face of the Father in heaven. But go to Isaiah chapter 14. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 14, and we'll look at verses 12 through 15. Because something happens with these angels that we're probably familiar with. But if we're not, we can read about it. Because in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, well, what is he talking about? Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms? In heaven, Lucifer, who we know as Satan, led this rebellion against God. And throughout reading, we can assume that his rebellion was caused by his sin of pride, wanting to be greater than God, wanting to be like God. And he rebelled against God, and he takes as many as a third of the angels with him. A third of the angels of heaven follow Satan. And these angels and Satan, they're cast out of heaven. Some of them, the Bible says, are even right now chained in darkness and in the depths of the sea, but some of them are able to freely move around the earth, and we know them as demons. All of this, and the Bible warns us that there is a spiritual battle taking place around us constantly. And we don't fully understand why some of them are chained in darkness currently and why some of them are free to move around the earth. However, we do know that someday they will all eternally be cast into the lake of fire. They will all eternally be cast into the pit, the Bible says, and we'll look at them and we'll look at Satan and we'll say, is this the man that caused the nations to tremble? And look at him now in eternal judgment. God takes these angels that sinned and he casts them out, and one day, for all of eternity, they're going to be tormented. If the angels are not able to escape God's judgment, surely these false teachers leading people astray won't be able to escape God's judgment. It's a stern warning. God didn't spare the angels. And secondly, God doesn't spare the old world. God doesn't spare the old world. Look with me at verse number 5. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, we'll look at verses 5 through 8. And here's the story. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Could you know, we talk about how terrible the world is that we live in today. We'll just pause here for a second. We talk about how terrible the world is today. And a world is not a pretty place, right? I mean, there's sin that happens all the time. But the days of Noah, in the days of Noah, the world was so wicked. The Bible says God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imaginations of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Every single person, with the exception of eight, was wicked. And all of their imagination was wicked continually. Verse number 6. It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There's only one man and his family that God saves during this time. And it wasn't as if the others didn't have opportunity. For 120 years, Noah is building the ark. And the Bible tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So during this time of him building the ark, I can only imagine, by what we find in the Word of God, that Noah is preaching the righteousness of God. And Noah is saying that judgment is going to come. The earth is going to be destroyed. And what does the Bible say they did? They laughed. They laughed at him. They mocked him. The message was rejected. At the end of the 120 years, only Noah, his wife, his three sons, and his three daughters entered into the ark. You know, there are so many people today who want nothing to do with Jesus. Their lives are filled with wickedness. They're content to live in their sin. They don't want Jesus. They don't need Jesus, they think. They think that they can escape God's judgment or even don't even believe that it's coming. In the days of Noah, when the earth was flooded, only 8 people survived. Everyone else was destroyed. And you know, as a believer, we've already entered into the ark that's greater than Noah's ark, and that's Jesus Christ. We've already received, if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we've received salvation. And our job is to be preachers of righteousness. We've trusted Christ as our Savior, that he's going to deliver us. Are we sharing that with others? Or maybe you haven't trusted Christ, and we're going to continue talking. But think about it. Maybe you haven't put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ yet. You have to, or you will face judgment. God doesn't spare the angels. He doesn't spare the old world. And in verse number 6, we see the example that God did not spare Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse number 6, in turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Now turn back with me to Genesis chapter 19. In Genesis chapter 19, we'll look at verses 24 to 25. Verse number 24, the Bible says this, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed because of their wickedness. And only 3 people were able to survive. It was Lot and his 2 daughters. His wife didn't make it out. She made it out of the city and then looked back, and the Bible tells us she turned into a pillar of salt. Abraham pled with God. Is pled a word or pleaded? He asked God if he would not destroy the cities if there were 10 righteous people found. He started at 50 and worked his way down to 10. And God said, I won't destroy the cities if there are 10 righteous people. Yet there's only one. And it was Lot. Lot is the only one in the city described as righteous. He was able to save his two daughters, but they weren't described as righteous. And I don't believe they ever truly were believers. The cities were destroyed because of their wickedness. And the Bible tells us that they're an example even today. They're an example even today to those who will live ungodly. If God destroys the ungodly in Sodom and Gomorrah, then be sure that he's going to destroy all of the ungodly today. He says, Peter warns us, he says in verse number 6, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Listen, judgment is going to come. There will be a judgment coming. Are you prepared for it? And listen, these false teachers, Peter is saying, they're not going to escape judgment. It may look like they're getting away with leading people astray. It may look like they're getting away with it, but one day they will face judgment. They will face God's wrath. Judgment's coming. It's going to come. The angels did not escape God's judgment. God didn't spare them. God didn't spare the world in the days of Noah. He didn't spare the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. But what we can be encouraged by today is God also didn't spare his own son. He didn't spare his own son. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we'll look at verse 32. Actually, look at verse number 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who, I wasn't going to read this next verse, but I really like it. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. You know, the same language, the same word, when it says God didn't spare the angels or the old world or Sodom and Gomorrah, it's the same language, it's the same word found in Romans chapter 8, verse number 32. He that spared not his own son. He that spared not his own son. When we think about God pouring out his wrath on the angels, when we think about him pouring out his wrath on the world in the day of Noah, or the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, it really should cause our hearts to fear. It should put fear in our hearts. You know, the Bible talks a lot about the fear of the Lord. And we often describe it as this holy reverence, which is true. There needs to be a holy reverence of God. However, there should be a fear of the power of God. Like an afraid fear, not just the holy reverence. While that's important, there should also be a fear of God's power. There should be a fear of God's wrath. But we should also realize that as believers, we will never have to face God's wrath. We will never have to face God's judgment if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because he poured his wrath out on Jesus. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Keeping you awake with turning, but these passages are so good. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. If I can get to the right page. That is not the correct passage. Hang on. I wrote the wrong one down. It might be 2 Corinthians. Adam, do a quick search. He who knew no sin. Oh, 2 Corinthians. I just put the wrong one down. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus took on him our sin. Jesus took on himself the sin of the entire world. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus didn't ever sin. We know that. He was the perfect, holy Son of God. And for that reason, he was the only one worthy to pay the penalty for our sin. Yet, God made him to be sin for us. And he paid the penalty for our sin. He paid the price that we could never pay. And God pours out the cup of his wrath on Jesus Christ. And fortunately, we'll never be able to understand God's wrath. We'll never be able to, as Christians and as believers, we'll never experience it. We'll never have to worry about God's wrath. We'll never have to worry about his judgment. But be warned, because that doesn't mean that there aren't consequences for sin, right? Just because we'll never experience God's wrath doesn't mean we'll never experience consequences for our sin. And we see that in our lives as we sin, right? You know, just like a good example, I think, and maybe you're like, that's a terrible example. But I think a good example is we think about those of us with children, we think about our kids, right? Our children sin. We understand that, right? Does anybody think their children doesn't sin? Because we could trade. Or the children don't sin, well, I can trade children with you if you'd like. Our children sin. They're not perfect, right? And we punish our children for their sin, right? But we've never poured out all of our wrath on our children. I would hope not. We've never poured out all of our wrath on our children because of their sin, because of their disobedience. Okay? But let's think about something else. If somebody came into your house in the middle of the night that was not invited, did not belong there, and was there to harm you, I have a feeling many of us would pour out all of our wrath on that individual. Are we on the same page? Do we understand what I'm saying? Many of us would pour out all the wrath that we have on that person, and it's likely that person would not make it out of our houses alive, right? That's a warning to anybody watching. We would pour out all of our wrath on that individual. As God's children, consequences come, chastisement comes, for our sin. The Bible tells us, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son in whom he delighteth. Chastisement comes when we sin to bring, and the purpose of that chastisement, the purpose of that correction, is to restore relationship. Just like with our children, the purpose of punishment is to restore relationship, but to also teach our children the right way to go. The purpose of God's chastisement, the purpose of God's correction on his children, on those who are believers, is to bring us back into his fold and to point us back on the right direction. The purpose of God's wrath is judgment on sin. When he places his wrath on Jesus Christ on the cross, it is not correction, chastisement, scourging that God talks about. It is all of his wrath. Jesus even prays in the garden, if it be possible, Lord, let this cup pass from me. He understands that he's going to have to face all of God's wrath. And the Bible says, in other parts of the Bible, I think it's in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, Paul warns about people who will be turned over for the destruction of their soul. People who will spend an eternity in hell under, or as we read in Revelation, that the Bible says that all of hell is cast into the lake of fire for all of eternity. They will be there facing God's wrath and God's judgment and God's, and the torment forever and forever, just like Satan and the angels that followed him in rebellion will face God's wrath and God's judgment forever. But as believers, we never have to worry about facing God's wrath, because as we're told in 2 Corinthians, he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We're declared righteous. We're declared to be as Jesus Christ, just as if we'd never sinned at the time of salvation. And because of that, we can go back to Romans chapter 8. I should have told you to leave a finger there, but I didn't. Go back to Romans chapter 8. Because we've been declared righteous, because we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because God didn't spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, verse 32. Verse 33 says this, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? The Bible tells us that Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and he spends his time before the throne of God bringing railing accusations against us to God. Yet what does God say? God says they've been justified. They are righteous. And verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ who died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. He stands before God and he intercedes on our behalf. When Satan says, hey, Adam sinned, God, you need to destroy him, God says, or Jesus says, I paid for that sin. And God says, that's right. He's never going to face my justice. He's never going to face my wrath. Those who put their faith in Jesus as the substitute for their sin, those who trust Jesus as their Savior, never will experience the wrath of God. Yet on the other hand, those who reject Jesus are going to suffer God's wrath for all of eternity in the lake of fire that was created for Satan and for the fallen angels. The Bible tells us, though, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So if you haven't put your faith and trust in Jesus, whether you're here today or watching later on Facebook or on YouTube, if you haven't put your faith and trust in Jesus, if you've never realized the fact that you're a sinner, that because of your sin, you're going to face God's wrath. But Jesus paid your penalty when he died on the cross. Jesus was your substitute. That Jesus died paying for our sins and he rose again and was victorious over sin and death. If you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus as your Savior and asked him to forgive your sins, today's the day. Today's the day. Because as we look back on God not sparing the old world, who was spared though? Noah, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord and was a preacher of righteousness. Noah escaped God's judgment and God's wrath because he believed. As we look back on Sodom and Gomorrah, both cities were completely destroyed and brought to rubble and ashes, yet who was able to escape? Lot. The Bible says that Lot was a just man and was a righteous man. Yet Lot was living in sin, in a world of sin, in cities filled with sin. And he didn't face God's wrath. God didn't spare his own son for you, so you would never have to experience God's wrath. So if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, today's the day. You can reach out to us. You can ask us. You can call us with any questions. We can walk you through. We can talk you through it. But ultimately, it's the decision that you have to make between you and the Lord. And if you are a believer, first, we can be happy to know that we'll never have to experience God's wrath. But are we, as Noah was, being a preacher of righteousness? And even though Noah, for 120 years, declared that judgment was coming, the only people who listened were his family. Are we like Noah being a preacher of righteousness, or are we like Lot, living in the wicked world that we live in, never saying anything, and then when judgment comes, we try to warn, and even our own family doesn't make it out? We have a serious responsibility. And we're reminded that, listen, if God didn't spare the angels, and he didn't spare the world in the days of Noah, or Sodom and Gomorrah, he's not going to spare false teachers. He's not going to spare false prophets. He's not going to spare those who reject Jesus. They will face judgment, and they will face his wrath. Yet God didn't spare his own son, so we can avoid that. We have a responsibility as believers to share that message. We have a responsibility as believers to spread the gospel. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for this warning that you've given us. Lord, warning that judgment will come, but we don't have to experience it. I pray that if there's anybody today that hears this, that doesn't know you as their Savior, that God, you would put conviction on their heart, that today would be the day that they would repent of their sin and that they would put their faith and trust in you and seek you for forgiveness. We also pray, Lord, that you be with those of us who believe. Lord, I pray that you would challenge us with the task of getting the gospel out, that you challenge us with this mission of spreading your word, that we would be as Noah was, living in a world of sin, yet spreading the gospel and preaching righteousness, that we wouldn't be as Lot, living in the world and just hiding what we know. God, we pray that you bless the rest of the service today. We pray that what we do, what we say, what we sing, and what we hear would honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.